We're doing in Yaakov. We're at the middle of page Membeis Amud Beis. Smack in the middle, you'll see a little aleph. V'amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Yishkach to Benny for the photocopies. V'amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi taught another thing. B'sha'a sh'ala Moshe l'marom. When Moshe went up to heaven, Metzao la'kadosh baruch hu, sh'aya kosher ketarim la'otiyot. He found Hashem tying crowns onto the letters. Do we have a marker here? There we go. Okay, so when we... It's fine. When we draw a Zion, do an Ashkenazi Zion for now. Ashkenazi Zion. We do three crowns on it. Okay, so our Zion has three crowns. Nowadays, they sometimes make them together. Our Zion, oh wow, maybe I should get a better marker. I have an office. Yeah. What?
I think he's going to the library.
You think about the library's fancy, including these markers.
I have a board on there.
That's a fancy board. Oh, wow. Without wheels.
It's a regular board.
So, we have letters, Shat Nezget, which we'll discuss in a minute. So we make our Zion. And our Zion has a crown, right? A little crown. And our tradition is that many letters have a Zion in them, and they are the letters called Shatnez Gets. So, if this is my Zion, right? Put the three crowns on it.
But many so, letters have Zions in them?
Yes. So my shin will look like this. I'm making a Sephardi shin. And my ayin will look like this.
Yeah.
And my tet will look like this.
Yeah.
And my nun will look like this.
Yeah.
Shatnez and my gimel will look like this.
Yeah.
And my tzadi will look like this. Whoops.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Shatnez gets. And Shatnez gets, I have in those letters Zion, and the Zion of Shatnez gets always gets the three crowns. So that's our tradition. So we have Shatnez gets. Okay, you saw the letters. Now we'll just draw them out here. Okay, I'm doing Sephardi because that's what you're all familiar with. The Ashkenazi shin does this. It has a pointy end. Okay. So that's an Ashkenazi shin. The Sephardi shin has a base to it. Right? Whoops. Say there. That's my Sephardi shin with a basis. Sha, my ayin. So my ayin. Sha. And again, I have three little crowns. My tet. Nun. Again. Now, the Ashkenazim make... You guys want to learn a little bit of Stam, yeah? So the Ashkenazim make things extreme. Whoops, I shouldn't be anti-Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazim make things extreme. Everything's extreme by us. So, the Sephardim, when it says in Halacha that it has to look like a Zion, so the Sephardim don't make it like such. It has to literally come out in the middle. Many Sephardim had their Zions looking like this. This was a Vav and this was a Zion. This was a Vav. Does it have to be like the Ashkenazim, that the Zion, the leg, literally comes into the middle, or can it have a squiggly? So that's how Sfar, so that's why Sfardim will sometimes have their Nun look like this. Look at your Nun in your Chumashim. So it looks like a Vav, right? Doesn't it look like a Nun? Right, the text, right, look over here, right? Our Nuns are. Where do we have a Nun here? Yeah, look at the Nuns. They look just like that. So that's the way many Sfardim did it. They didn't take the Zion to be literally a Zion. Ashkenazim, they do it like this. Okay, so the Ashkenazi Nun has much more of a Zion. So we have Shatnez Getz. I'm just doing this Ashkenazi style. Even though, don't take from that I'm more pro this than that. It happens to be my tradition, that's all. And we know that in the Nun, we also have an Endanun, right? So the Endanun also has crowns. Sfardi Endanun. Ashkenazi Endanun. Even Ashkenazim do it more like this. But whatever. Ashkenazi Endanun. Shatnez Getz. Now on our Tzadi also. So we have our Zion, and then and the Tzadi, or regular Tzadi, right? And here there's a big question on our Tzadi, right? We know this is the Zion, and it connects to, so some Ashkenazim make a regular Yod, and some Ashkenazim make a backwards Yod. Like that. Yeah, that's some, this is called Tavari or different names, but do they make the forward facing Yod or the backward facing Yod? Yes? So that's, anyways, this is going to be our Shatnez Getz. And then we have certain letters that have one tag, one line on them, and those are the letters called Bedek Chaya. Okay? So you might not have noticed it, but Bedek Chaya. We have a Beis. It has a little squiggly top on. We have a Dalid. It has a little squiggly top. We have
is
a Kuf.
Every time the Bet, Dalid, Kuf are in the Torah?
Yes. Bedek Chaya. Sfardi Chet. Ashkenazi Chet. Again, the Ashkenazi take the Zion in the Chet literally. It says that the Chet has a Zion, so the Ashkenazim take it literally. Bedek Chaya. The Yod has a little squiggly, and then the Hey has a little. So each of these have one. Bedek Chaya. So this is what we call tagging. So the Ribbono Shel Olam. Thank you. The Ribbono Shel Olam was tying on these crowns onto the letters. What does that mean? So Moshe comes up to heaven and he finds the Ribbono Shel Olam tying on the crowns. Amaule. Yes, sir.
It might be a little off topic, but on the note of the letters, is there a specific reason why some letters have a sulfit?
Yes. It's a good question. Back to Ben Yaakov Thursday night. It's a Gemara in Megillah and a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, if that helps you.
I know the Gemara in Megillah, but it's a little, it says that they forgot it and they brought it back.
Okay. Amale. So he finds the Ribbono Shel Olam tying crowns on the letters. The Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ein Shalom Be'ircha, where you come from, they don't say hello. Moshe Rabbeinu came up to heaven and he doesn't say Shalom. So he says, you don't say Shalom? You come from a city where they don't greet someone with peace? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Amar Lefanav, Moshe Rabbeinu says before his creator,
כלום יש עבד שנותן שלום לרבו? Can a servant open in conversation and greet the master without his being greeted? I was waiting for you to greet me. Rabon Shalom. I didn't think I could begin the conversation and say Shalom. I thought I have to wait for you to greet me. Amar lo, haya lecha leozreini. So the Rabon Shalom says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should have helped me out. Should have helped me out. The Rabon Shalom needs Moshe's help. Miyad amar lei, right away Moshe Rabbeinu said the pasuk, ve'ata yigdana koach Hashem kasher dibarta lemor. Hashem, may your strength be strengthened. May your strength be greater. Yigdalna koach Hashem. Oh wow, so what's going on here?
He says a pasuk from Bar-Midbar?
Yeah.
Before that.
Okay, look at the pasuk and then see if you still have a question. Okay, so what's the idea here? Maybe we should just leave it hanging and move on. This is a Kabbalistic concept, so... You wanna? Okay, so we'll say words, even if we don't understand concepts. Okay, we'll just say words, and then one day maybe we'll understand. The danger when we speak about Kabbalistic things is that we can sometimes err and think we do understand, and then it becomes dangerous. But if we can remember that we're saying words and we're understanding it on a 3-year-old level, and we don't really understand what's going on here. So then we could at least say the words and on some level at least hear what's being said. What are we doing when we say a blessing? Baruch atah Hashem. Blessed are you Hashem who created the fruits of trees. Did Hashem need that? Did He give Him anything? So the Kabbalists say a concept that Hashem created a world in which we can affect spiritual things as well. Hashem said, I create a world where you can impact the spiritual aspect of the world, not just the physical aspect of the world. That impact that we were allowed to have is what's called blessing Hashem or giving Hashem strength, which is another way of saying I'm strengthening the good, the positive that's in the world. So our conversation really begins with a more basic question, which is, what's the point of life? What am I doing here? What can I accomplish here? Why do I matter? Another 100 years will pass, and what did I do here? So if I am like a cockroach that goes about collecting its food and feeding its kin, and then one day it gets squashed, and no one remembers that cockroach ever lived. And most cockroaches that came and went from the world, you don't even know about. You only know about those that annoy you, right? So if man is merely a cockroach, right? Isn't there a famous classic that way? A man who woke up one morning and found himself he was a cockroach.
It's a tough one.
Yes, no, come on, that's a classic book. Who wrote that?
Is that like a kid's book?
No, I think Isaac Asimov, I think, wrote a book like that. Forgot the name of the book. If that is man's meaning in life, so it's a pretty dismal life. Then if there's no purpose, then I might as well get the most pleasure I can out of it, because what's the purpose otherwise?
It's Hellenism, right?
And it would support Hellenism, meaning that perspective on life would certainly support a hedonistic lifestyle, because if there's no meaning, then I might as well get what I can out of it. Now, Hashem appears on the scene and says, hi, I created you, and I'm going to take you out of Egypt, and guess what? You matter. You count. And once Hashem does that, so then all of life changes. And then suddenly there's meaning. Then suddenly Hashem's saying, here, I'm giving you a tool, and I'm letting you know that you can connect to eternity. You can affect the world. Not only the world you see, but also the world you can't see. And I'm revealing to you what are the good things you can do that will affect the world positively. Now, suddenly, I can connect to something eternal. Suddenly, there's real meaning to life. It's not just meaningful to me. It could be very meaningful to me that a person will say that when they get an inheritance, their brother shouldn't get more than them. That's very meaningful to them. And it could be devastating to them if their brother did. But is that really meaningful? It's all going to pass, like Shlomo Amel says in Ecclesiastes. So what? Who cares? What difference does it make? There have been so many people who walked this planet, and they had so many emotions that mattered so much to them, and legitimately so. It matters to a person, but after 120, it's all gone. Ah, but if I'm given the opportunity to connect to eternity, if my life can have more meaning than that, now suddenly it's a different game. Suddenly, I'm playing a different game. As we would say, I'm playing for keeps. What I'm doing can matter. So the idea of a blessing is that on some level, I can affect spiritual things. It's not just I'm making a blessing over this apple I'm about to eat. It's that my blessing will affect there be more holiness in the world, or in the terms of the Kabbalists and the Zohar, you're strengthening the power of good, the power of God. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yigdal na koach Hashem. May Hashem's power become greater. What difference does it make if Moshe said that statement? Ah, but if we are taught that our words can affect the world, so then it could be that when you make a blessing, you've affected the world. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes to heaven and he sees Hashem tying crowns on the letters. Tying crowns on the letters. And Hashem says, you should have helped me. What does that mean, you should have helped me? That's the idea that if you bless, you're participating in part of my running the world. The idea that man can be a part of what's happening in this world. I can't do everything, but I can affect some things. And I can affect them not only in the physical world, but in the spiritual world as well. So how exactly this works, we don't know. But the concept is an important one. We move forward. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Another quote from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi.
I'm still stuck on that. Moshe's quoting from Bar Midbar.
Did you look at the Pasuk?
Yes.
What's the next three words of the Pasuk?
Hashem to Asher Dibarta.
Yeah, and then the next three words of the Pasuk. Look up the Pasuk, then tell me if it bothers you. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught, my dichtiv, what does the verse mean when it says, Vayaram kiboshesh Moshe, we just read this in the Parsha, the nation saw that Moshe was delayed in coming. Al tikrei voshesh, don't read the word as bo shesh, the way our tradition says to read it, ela, but rather, you should read the word the way it's written, ba shesh. The 6th hour of the day came. When Moshe ascended to the heavens, he said to the Jewish people, at the end of 40 days, in the beginning of the 6th hour, I'm coming back. At the end of the 40 days, Satan came, the Yetzer Hara came, who caused man to sin. And he said, let's create confusion in the world. Amar lehem, he said to the Jewish people, Moshe Rabchem Echanu, where is Moshe, your Rabbi? So Yetzer Hara shows up and says, where is he? Amru lo, ala lamarom. They answered, we know. He's gone up to the heaven. Amar lehem, baushesh. He said, you know, the 6th hour came and Moshe's not back yet. So what's going on? So lo ishkichu alav, they didn't pay attention to him. Met, Sutton came and says, you know, I'm coming to you from heaven. Moshe's dead. לא השגיחו עליו. They didn't pay any attention to him. הראה להם דמות מיטתו. And then he showed them a figure of Moshe's bed floating in the heaven. And then they started getting worried. And that's what they said to Aaron. Ki zeh Moshe Aish. That Moshe. You see his bed up there floating? Moshe's passed away. So that's where they caved in. When they thought they saw his bed floating in heaven. So that's Ba Boshesh Moshe, the sixth hour that Moshe promised them had come, and he hadn't returned, and the Sutton could get them to think that Moshe died. Amar Leomer Rabbanan Rav Kahana. One of the rabbis asked Rav Kahana, Mishmi Alach Mai Har Sinai. Did you ever hear what does it mean that the mountain is called Mount Sinai? Amar lo har shena subo nisim leYisrael. He said, Sinai means, from the word nes, there were miracles on that mountain for Israel. Amar le har nisai mibayle. It should have said, har nisai, not Sinai. If the word is nes, it should have said nisai. Amar le har shena sabo siman tov leYisrael. He said, Sinai is like Siman. A good sign came to the Jewish people there. He said, if that's so, Har Simnai mi baile. It should have been called Har Simnai. Because you're saying it's a good Siman, a good sign. Amar lei matam lo shchichat kamed Rav Papa Rav Huna b'rid Rav Yeshua d'mayne begad tad Rav Chista v'rabba b'rid Rav Huna. He says, why don't you stick around when Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'rid Rav Yeshua give class? Because they know all the Agadita that Rav Chista and Rabbi B'rid Rav Huna taught, they're teaching it. They both explained why is it called Har Sinai. That's the mountain from which Enmity descended to the nations. Sinai. So Rashi explains that this is referring to Hashem, who had contempt for the nations because they refused to accept the Torah. That Sinai is a reflection of Hashem's emotions towards the nations, that they did not accept the Torah. Rambam in Igeret Teiman, so the Rambam explains that the interpretation is this is where anti-Semitism came down to the world. Har Sinai, that sin'ah, hatred came down, it means this is where the hatred of the Jews came down to the world. When the Jews were told at Sinai, they're the chosen people, so it's called Sinai to indicate the sin'ah, the hatred that would fill the world against the Jews. Yes, sir?
There was a Malek. Is that not anti-Semitism?
I don't know if a Malek's hatred is of us. Maybe.
Who they hate?
The Ribbono Shel Olam. The revelation of the Ribbono Shel Olam.
And the anti-Semitism today is not because of God, it's because of us as a people?
I'm not sure. There are psukim that indicate that they hate us because we're Hashem's chosen people. And even the Rambam seems to say that the hatred over there, the hatred that came to the world was because Hashem chose us. But there's a difference between saying, let's say a parent plays favoritism to a child. So there's a person that says, I hate the parent, so I'll hurt the child. And there's a person who says, I want the parent to love me, and I'm jealous that he loves that child, so I'll hurt the child. It's two different things. My understanding is that Amalek's point is, I hate the parent. And the Rambam's interpretation of the Gemara here, Nigeret Teiman, as far as I understand, is the jealousy that came down to the world. It's not the same as I hate the parent, so that my way to hurt the parent is hurting the child. I'm saying you'll see kids do that too. Sometimes a child's upset at you and they can't do anything to you, so they'll go and hit the baby. Kids do that. That's their way of showing, I can't hit you, so I'm going to show you. I'm going to hit the baby. That's Amalek. What?
Another.
Yeah, I'm saying, but that I think is Amalek. Whereas the nations, it's jealousy. V'haynu d'amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. That's what Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina taught. Hey, Shemot Yeshlo, Mount Sinai has five names. Midbar Tzin. Why is it called the desert of Tzin? From the word Tzivui. That's where the Jewish people were commanded. Midbar Kadesh, from the word Kodesh. That's where the Jewish people became holy. Midbar Kedemot, from the word Kaduma. That the most ancient work was given on that mountain, the Torah. Midbar Paran, from the word Peru Urvu. That the Jewish people multiplied there because everyone's wife became pregnant. When Hashem gave them a mitzvah to go back to their wives after the Ten Commandments, so we have a tradition that at that point they all became pregnant. They had a mitzvah to go back home, they did. They all became pregnant. That's the Hasidish Vort, that if they all became pregnant on Vav Sivan, after Matan Torah, Sivan, Tammuz of Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat, Adar. That if they got pregnant in Vav or Zion Sivan, so then 9 months later is Zion Adar, and the Shabbos after Zion Adar is always Shabbat Zachor. So the Hasidim say that that's why it's called a Shalom Zachar. Shalom Zachar and Shabbos Zachar connect to the boys they all had in the desert. So that's this Gemara.
Everybody has boys?
Yes. Boy, where did they find Shiduchim? He had so many boys. 1 year where everyone had a boy. So he had to find girls to match all those boys. What?
Day, a lot of work to be done.
Eighth day was very busy. 15th of Adar was very busy.
The 15th of Adar was very busy, very interesting, right? Right? Okay, interesting. That's very interesting. Yudalit Adar. Because if they were born on Zion, then Yudalit is the eighth day. Because Zion is day one. Means that Yudalit Adar, which is what we call Purim, was major circumcision day according to that. That means Yudalit Adar had significance already in the desert. Interesting. That's a very interesting point. Wow. Okay. Midbar Paran sheparuv rabu alav Yisrael. That the Jewish people multiplied in that desert. That's this medrash. Midbar Sinai, Sheyarda Sinai la'akum alav. Umashmo, so what's the real name? Chorev Shmo. The name of the desert is the desert Chorev. Everything else is descriptory terms. And that is an argument with the opinion of Rabbi Avu, that Rabbi Avu taught Har Sinai Shmo, that his real name all along was Sinai. And why was he called Chorev? That the nations had destruction come from Mount Sinai, because until the Jewish people accepted the Torah, so it was hanging. What would be with the nations remained hanging? Once we accepted the Torah, so then they became odd men out. Then Hashem says, okay, I've asked you to keep the seven Noachites and you didn't keep up with them. I'm no longer giving you reward for that either. The Gemara Navot Zara says that Ra'ave Ater Goim, that Hashem said, when we accepted the Torah, Hashem said, let me take an accounting. And he took an accounting of the world and he said, oh boy, I've given you seven Noachide laws and you haven't been keeping them. I'm not going to reward you anymore for them. So it was a time that not only we got all the other mitzvot, but they lost the rewards. They didn't lose the commandment. They're still obligated to keep them, but they lost the rewards for the seven Noachide laws.
What was the reward they were getting?
I don't know. Some kind of Olam Haba, it would seem. There was some kind of reward waiting for them.
But
yeah.
If they weren't doing it, then they weren't getting it anyway. So it must have been a reward that they were getting up until.